I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Who are you becoming? Okay, start meditating on that. Who are you becoming? Because as we talked about the last 2 weeks, we better prepare an answer for our actions once we are aware that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You better have that answer ready. And as we discuss the things done in this body that Christ is concerned with, center on how we handled believing and belonging and becoming and branching and bestowing, because that's a lot of B's, because each area represents our response to God-given purposes behind every God-given life. It just naturally happens, which means how we live is how we answer what God asks. Because He is brilliant, and He brilliantly designed life in such a way that whatever it is we choose to do produces exactly what He wants to know. And just like what we believe and where we belong, well, God must want to know who we are becoming, because giving an answer is unavoidable. It was baked into our creation when God made change inevitable. Oh, no matter how hard we wish, we simply can't stay the same. I have tried. It does not work. You cannot stay the same. You just can't do it. Every single one of us is under construction all the time. All the time. We are all constantly transforming without even trying. And that is because human life down here is defined by all of these weird, ever-changing bodies and these erratic environments and all of the unpredictable events, which is all the events in our lives are unpredictable. And all of these things make stability impossible and change inevitable. However, okay, there's some good news. However, even though the choice to change may be out of our hands, the trajectory of our transformation is under our control. Growth is not up to us, but here's the good news. Our aim is, right? We get to guide it. Like Bruce said, we get to guide that growth. And because we get to choose who it is that we become, we got to become someone, but we get to choose. Well, that means the life that we live reveals the identity that is our destiny, right? It just tells us which one, where we're going. So God's design, again, so clever. Every time you get into these things, you're like, that's why you're God and I'm not. God's design prompts us to ask the million-dollar question, which is this. Well, then who are we supposed to be? You know, what's the right answer to God's unavoidable question? And how do we live it to give it? Because if that's what's happening naturally, well, then we better be figuring out how to do it right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to go all the way back to the beginning. I feel your pain. We're going to have to go all the way back to the beginning to get our bearings, because God had a plan. Bless you. Man, all right, you guys, get bless you. Give me the third one. Everybody sneeze now. Just get it. Okay, that's great. We have to go back to the beginning to get our bearings, because God had a plan for who we'd be from the moment that we came to be. Remember this. We all know this one. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, says God, right? Right at the beginning of the book. But I'm going to tell you, stop right there. Hold your horses. Because once we hear we were made in the image of God, us Christians have a way of thinking that we're hot snot, that we're a big deal, and we just kind of tune out the rest. We go, oh, I'm like a God? That's great. That's all I need. No. It is true, okay? Yes, we were made to share His image and His likeness. But that is just the beginning of a very long story, thousands of years in the making, that we are still living out right now. And to see the whole picture, it might help to understand the difference. And there is a big difference between image and likeness, okay? And it's real, it's tough to parse out. So I'm going to say this really dense and slow, and then we're going to unpack it a little bit. So don't worry if you get a little confused, because it confused me as I wrote it. So image is a substance of resemblance. It's a representation, okay? Like a statue. It's a representation of something. But likeness is a correlation of character. It's a reproduction. So our image is what God gave us, right? When he made us, he just gave us. That's the image. But our likeness is what we become. It's how we live. Okay, and I know that this is still tricky. You're going, oh boy, I didn't sign up to go to school today. But just let's think of it this way. I got an analogy I think that'll help us out. Imagine it this way. Picture a young apprentice walking into a master craftsman's workshop. And the master hands him a uniform and says, you're hired. From now on, you work for me. And whatever you do, you represent my name and my company. Okay, now, the uniform does not make the apprentice skilled, right? Doesn't have any magic qualities to it. But the uniform does give him an identity and a purpose. And everybody who sees this apprentice now automatically knows where it is that he came from and who he works for. That right there is like being made in God's image, right? We are stamped with his identity, and then we are called to represent him in the world everywhere we go. But the apprentice isn't meant to just wear the uniform and do nothing. He has been hired to become like his boss. He is expected to learn from watching him, from watching the master's hands at work, and from listening to all of the wisdom that he has, and then copying his technique, and then eventually absorbing his values, figuring it out, you know, how he does what he does. And as time passes, because that's the process, as time passes, the apprentice's heart and hands just naturally begin to look like his teacher's. That is likeness. Does that make sense? A few heads going this way, a few going the other way. That's all right. We're going to keep going. That is likeness, okay? And similarly, we weren't just created to represent God in image. We were meant to become like him in our character. And back at the beginning, we did. You know, we did. That was how we were created. But when we decided to contradict God and actually do what he never would do, that's a different character. And sin entered the game, and sin made us unlike him and thereby tainted our image. So now, after that, we may still bear God's image, but until we act like him, it can be hard to see. Because what we're like can't unmake our image, but it can affect its appearance. Okay, and this is that distinction. And that is something, again, this may sound like it's complicated theological mumbo jumbo, but it is something that we all do inherently understand, because we know what it means when somebody says, you're not acting like yourself. And I go, I'm Noah all the time, everywhere I go. I'm always acting like, no, you're not acting like yourself, like who you really are. And it's the same way that my wife is always my wife. Always my wife. But sometimes she doesn't eat. And when she doesn't eat, she don't act like my wife. Okay? And as a matter of fact, it's really hard to tell who she is. Because her image may not change, same beautiful creature I married, but her character becomes a little bit more bloodthirsty dictator. She just says, don't tell me to calm down or I'll burn your house to the ground. I'm like, it's our house. What are you doing? And when it gets really bad, I swear there's a German accent in there. She's dying on it. It's a terrifying is what it is. I love you to death, but it's true. It is. The moral of the story is feed your wife. It's the best thing that you'll ever do. Everybody who's married knows exactly what I'm talking about. But if you're not married or you don't have that relationship, if you don't know what I mean, just think of babies, okay? Think of how cute babies are. Babies are so stinking cute. It's just how they are. They're created that way. Just look at it. You just want to snuggle their little face. I saw Becca's little baby. I'm like, oh, these little rascals. They're so great. But look at a cute baby and remember the very same sweet face is still there somewhere, even when it gets buried behind the blinding rage of a temper tantrum. That's the same baby, right? The same adorable baby. And I think that right there, that's a great picture of what we look like when we don't act like our creator. Because believe it or not, we were all created adorable and easy to love. That's who we were. But sin can make us look like unlovable monsters. All right? Take that. That's just you. That is us. Because, and the way that sin does this, sin just means missing the mark, right? Sin is just missing the mark. And hitting the mark just means acting like the true you. That's just hitting the mark. Because to be who you were created to be, we have to live like we were created to live. They just have to go hand in hand because we have to become like the image that we bear. That is another way to say this is to represent the uniform well, we need to reproduce the company's character when we're out and about. Right? If I'm representing this person, this whatever the image is, I have to act like them when I'm out in public, when I'm living my life. And that right there takes constant reminders of exactly who it is that we represent, because that's how you remember. And that in turn takes a very close relationship with Jesus, because God the Father, that's the image in which we were created, but no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, has made him known. And how did he do that, you ask? Well, the Son is the image of the invisible God. And that is why we are called Christians, in a nutshell right there. That's why we are Christians, because we fix our eyes on Jesus as the character that we want to copy. Because Jesus lived in the likeness of the image that we are all meant to represent. That's our created purpose right there. He's actually living like the image that we were meant to represent. He hit the mark. He hit the mark so perfectly and therefore became who we were created to be. All of us. That's what we're fixing our eyes on right there. So now, all of us who've seen that, who've seen him, we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. What is Jesus doing? That's so incredible. This is what Christians are called to do. All of us are being transformed into his image. Because you see, in the beginning, we were created in God's image and likeness. But since sin meant losing our likeness, we now need Jesus to show us the way back to the true life that mirrors the image of God. I mean, we know this again, classic scripture. He tells us plainly, I am the way, says Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And therefore, you know, you'll know the image that you are created to represent. You'll see it so clearly all of a sudden. So from now on, you do know him and you have seen him. That's what Jesus is all about. And so now, when we become Christ-like, well, our image becomes visible again. Right? It's such a wonderful thing because Jesus, bless you. See, again, this all happens at once. I love it. Because Jesus didn't just represent who God was. He reproduced God's character in his life. That's what life is for. And so do we when we use our life to reproduce his. And so that's what we are called to do. And when our created identity and our current character actually agree, we feel harmony. Oh, it is the best feeling. It is so. We all know this, right? Like when you're in step with God's will and you just kind of stop touching the ground and you're floating, you're like, this is how life could be. That's it. That's that harmony. Nothing is more satisfying than living life the way that it was designed to be lived. There's just no trouble anymore. It just feels right. Which brings us to the really critical, difficult step. Taking action. Ooh, I knew there was going to be some bad news. You got to do something about it. Because the life of Jesus wasn't meant to merely clarify our character. It was meant to motivate our movement. Okay, you just can't sit down and be a Christian. It's not okay. If we want to share in that satisfying harmony that between our character and our identity, we have to actually go take those tangible steps to become like Jesus. So that like him, we can actively live out that perfect power and purpose that comes with God's intended image, the way we were supposed to live. which is awesome, but it's work. It is awesome, but it's work. And this is because restoration takes transformation, not just information. All right, you can't think your way through this one. You got to do something about it. And Paul explains this wonderfully. He says, Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers all to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Great. That's the information. That's given us that bullseye to shoot for. And then therefore, when we have that information, you know, it gives us the ability to achieve our ultimate goal, which is to become mature. Ooh. You got to become mature. No kid wants to hear that. You got to become mature, which means attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, and only then, will we no longer be infants, you know? Instead, speaking in the truth and love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Christ. That's it. So remember, go back to the beginning here. Change ain't up to us, all right? We're going to grow into something different. That's just built into life. We're going to grow into something different. But life was deliberately designed that way to give us an opportunity to reclaim our identity, our created identity. It is a setup. I say this all the time because, I mean, it sounds worse than it is, but this whole life is a setup. Everything God does down here is a setup to get us to do something. And it's a setup to dissect all of our decisions and then acknowledge. It's becoming like Jesus, okay? I want you to say that one with me. Faith isn't just believing in Jesus, but becoming like Jesus. Yeah, has to be. Has to be. And the reason is because believing alone, believing can't create change. It can only inspire it, right? I mean, belief is a huge step. It's our first created purpose we already went through. We need to have that belief because it has to inspire the change. But the change ain't going to happen unless you do something. We have to actively aim what we're becoming by choosing our character daily. Because every day you're growing. Every day you're doing something. You ever find yourself buying books that you wish you would read and you never do? And they look really good on the shelves behind you in your office. And then somebody comes into your office and they're like, oh, what a smart guy. And you go, I would be. I sure would be if I'd have read those books. Or you ever collect like every healthy recipe that you see on Pinterest and you got this big board of all this stuff, but you never cook any of them, right? And you're like, oh, man, I could imagine the life I would lead if I just ate that broccoli. Well, it's the exact same principle, right? Just imagine the life that you would lead, if you actually took action, you would actually, just very naturally, without even trying, you would naturally become like the brilliant authors and the chefs that you wish you were. If you just started reading those books and cooking those meals, and in the exact same way, imagine if you didn't just collect Bible verses, but you actually cooked them into your life. You would naturally, without even trying, start to become just like the Son of God himself. That's all it takes, which means it all comes down to this one question. Is your faith aimed at the information or the transformation, right? Has to be the transformation, because what we believe may show, I trust what Jesus said, and that is important and foundational, but who we are becoming can actually show I am living like Jesus lived, and that's the goal. And when we stand before his throne, like he said we're going to do, when we stand before his throne, presenting a collection of information seems less likely to get his approval than presenting a life of godly transformation. You know, I don't want to show up there with just a bunch of papers and say, but look, Lord, I collected all the words you said. And he'll go, okay, what good does that do you? Do something with it. Show him that transformation. Do something. Start the process right now, which is why Paul is so incessant. Paul is constantly saying things like, put on the new self, right? Put it on right now. Put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And because that's what we're supposed to do, therefore, each of you must also put off falsehood. and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And since our whole body shares this one identity, it's really just a binary proposition. You know, we're either living like Christ or we're not. That's it. Those are the two options you got. You're actually, you know, you're hitting the mark or you're missing the mark. There's no in between. You're just doing one or the other. But the good news about that is it's actually very helpful to let you know where you're at, because we can gauge our growth two different ways then. We can gauge it by the character that we are putting on, that we're seeing, or we can see by the character that we are putting off. Both of them are the same thing. They call it like the mortification of the flesh. That's the big, you know, churchy word for it. But that's what you're just taking off, putting to death the old man and putting on the new one. Because becoming Christ-like means avoiding becoming sin-like. I'll cry right back at you. I know exactly that feeling. And it takes so much effort. I know it takes so much effort to aim our daily change in the right direction and away from the false identities. Boy, those false identities seem so appealing and easy sometimes. But like we are warned from the very beginning, you better watch yourselves. Watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt. That's not what you're supposed to become. Don't become corrupt. There's no better way to steer the trajectory of our transformation than following the do's and the do nots that God himself gave to guide our growth. He knows about it. Again, it's the setup. So I'd listen to the guy who set us up. And so the best way possible is he wrote a book. He wrote a book and he gave it to us. And it tells us exactly how to become who we're supposed to become and not become who we're not supposed to become. So use it. Use his word every single day to check your daily changes. And do not become slaves of human beings. But remember instead that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Okay? Right there, foundational. Don't do that. Do this. Every single day, ask yourself if you're becoming more obedient to worldly worries or righteous routines. Right? What are you becoming? You're becoming one of them. And then as the scripture tells us, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Don't do that, because if any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. You know, every day, check yourself. Are you using your daily interactions to grow the humility that forms the foundation of wisdom? Because that's who you're supposed to become. If so, maybe you are. Great. Well, then let us not become weary in doing good. Whatever you do, don't become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And so until then, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. You know, ask yourself, have you kept your Christ-like character consistent from day to day so that the change will stick? It's easy to do something once or twice, but to do it consistently so that it'll stick. I sure hope you have. It's what we're working on here. It's why we're in this building together. I hope you're doing it, because we do not want you to become lazy. Don't become lazy, but instead, you know, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. Because that right there is the whole ball of wax. That's it. Because that identity is the ultimate inheritance promised to all of us who pursue it. That's who you were born to be, day in and day out. Ask yourself, does the destiny of your identity motivate you to move? You know, do you fix your eyes? Do you keep looking in the right direction? And does that pull you toward it? Do you see every single part of your life, every single day, as an opportunity to seize your identity by becoming who Christ would be if he were in your shoes? That's it. That's the whole goal. That's it. That is everything. Who Christ would be if he were in your shoes. Live your life like that. Because we and he were always meant to be the children God wants to love above all else. which means becoming loving is all it takes to become like him. It's so easy. He made it so easy because we are children. We are babies. And that is the ultimate win-win situation, right? Becoming loving to become like him, that's the ultimate win-win, because we may have lost our likeness, but our image is eternal and true because our Creator is eternal and true. It's always there. You just got to act like it. And when simply becoming our true selves satisfies his deepest desire, it should be obvious that love is the key to restoring our likeness, because God's love created us, but our love completes us because it completes love. And God is love. And it takes two to tango, guys. That's how it works. And to live the life like it was created to be lived, simply remind yourself every single day this famous quote that is just to the point and says it all. What you are is God's gift to you, but what you become is your gift to God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you, and we thank you for creating us with the power and purpose that only comes from sharing your image. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to guide our growth as we aim to reproduce your character and live in your likeness. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for becoming one of us to show all of us the way that we could become who we were created to be. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.